We are continuing with Luke. Today we'll be looking at chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. If you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to Luke 12, 22 through 34. If you're able to stand, let me ask you to rise for the reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do the very little thing, why don't you worry about the rest? Why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Thank you, Father, for these words. Lord, we pray that as we draw our attention to your word this morning, you would speak to us today. Open up our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Holy Spirit, we ask that you transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, please be seated. So yesterday I was walking my dog, and our development is about 20 years old, and so we have some people who've been living there for the last 20 years, and so we have neighbors that we know, and there's this one neighbor that I only get to talk to about once a year. I always wave at him when he's driving by, but once a year he'll pull over, he'll roll down his window, and he'll want to talk, and yesterday was one of those days. So I'm talking to him, and we're talking about our kids. And he said something interesting. He said, "You know, Jay, raising children, I've discovered two things. One is how capable he is to love his children. He has three kids, and he said, I didn't realize how much love I had in me. And the second thing was, I didn't realize how much I worry about my kids." And so he said, those are the two things he learned. And I said, "Oh, that's interesting, because I'll be talking about that here at church." Today's text is about don't worry. And if there's one thing that we all have in common, is at one point or another in life, we worry. Worry is a universal thing. How do we know this? Because not only does the Bible talk about that we shouldn't worry, the world says that too, right? There's that song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." And I don't know about you, I think that's easier said than done. Even as believers, we worry. Why? Because we live in a fallen world, and we have all these things that show up in life. So here's some of the things that I came up with as I reflect on my life about things that I worry about. And first thing is, I worry about finances. We were all supposed to have some money saved up for emergency situations. A lot of times, they call it a boiler fund. Save up money for a boiler in case your boiler blows up, which actually happened to us. But what happens if your boiler blows up and at the same time all your cars decide to not work, and at the same time you have extra bills that come in and you don't have enough money? Will I have enough for those days? Will I have enough for tomorrow? Will I have enough a year from now? Will I have enough for retirement? Sometimes we think about these things. The other worries I have has to do with health. As I'm getting older, I'm realizing my body part doesn't work the same way that it used to. And you go see a doctor, and the doctor will run all kinds of tests, and they'll say, we'll call you with the results. And then when the phone rings and you see the doctor's name on the phone, sometimes I don't want to pick it up because I don't want him to tell me the good or bad news. Usually it's bad news. And then I think, well, if I don't pick up, if the doctor never tells me, maybe I don't have this. That's how I think. So we worry about our health. Our children. Oh, of course we worry about our children. I'm always worried about if they will be able to make the right decisions in life. Have I as a father prepared them for this world? Are they prepared? Will they follow Christ? Will they be safe? These are the concerns that we have and I have. Said this earlier, but worry about growing older. Is my body gonna hold up? You know, I have a 25-year plan that I wanna continue going, but will my body hold up? You know, or will I become a burden to my children? And ageism, that's real too. I see that inside and outside the church as we grow older. And of course, about the future. The future is unknown. What will happen to our church? What will happen to our country? What will happen to our families? And worrying about the future ultimately leads to worrying about death as well. So what are we to do about all these worries? And these are just some of the lists that I came up with. You probably have even more. And yet, when you read through Scripture and even the text that we read today, Jesus says, not just once, not just twice, but many times, to not worry. Do not worry. And this not worrying is not simply a mindset. Sometimes I wish it is. It's mind over matter, but that's not how this works. So what does Scripture mean? What does Jesus mean when he says to not worry? And how do we fulfill this in our lives? And so today's text actually talks about that. So let's look at our verses together. So it says here, Jesus said to his disciples, in chapter 12, there was a large crowd gathered, and we learned that even in front of a large crowd of thousands, Jesus would sometimes talk to the disciples, sometimes address the whole crowd, and he had just challenged his disciples to be more generous. He talked about giving and being a generous people. So he challenged his disciples to be more generous. And then he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body and what you will wear. So a lot of times, many things that we worry about is tied to finances and money. So when God challenges us to be generous, that means we need to give what we have. And then by giving what we have, always in the back of our mind is, will God continue to provide as we continue to give? And so he is challenging us to not worry. Do not worry about your life. And it says, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. So for life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. And that's a great reminder for us. What is life about? What is the chief end of man? Why did God create us? He created us to... Class? Know him and enjoy him forever. That's what we're about, is to know God, worship God, and enjoy him forever. And yet, here we are, we're just worrying about, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? But that's not what life is about. And so Jesus gives two illustrations. The first, he talks about the ravens. Out of all the birds, why ravens? I don't know. They're pretty ugly, aren't they? They're like giant crows. Consider the ravens. In Leviticus, I think it's 11:15, it says that they're considered to be unclean animals. So Jesus is giving an example of unclean animals. Look at them. Look at the birds. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. So even something as lowly as the ravens, God feeds them. God takes care of his creation. God takes care of us. So that's the point Jesus is trying to make here. Even if you look at the ravens, you see that God takes care of them. They have no worries. They're not worried about tomorrow. They're not worried about the next day or the day after. They just eat whenever they want to eat. And this example comes from a few places in the Bible we see. In Psalm 147:9, it says, he provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. So Jesus is saying, see how even in Scripture, it talks about God taking care of the ravens. In Job, he says the same thing as well, that God provides food for the raven. So God is the one who provides for the birds. So Jesus is saying, how much more valuable are you than birds? Of course we are. So if you look at nature, you see how God provides for the birds, you mean more to God, so God's going to provide for you. And then he says, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? If we could add more hours by worrying, we would live forever. Or in the King James, it says, it's just a different way of translating, or by which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Right? I remember I wanted to play basketball, but I was just too short. You know, 5'9" was not tall enough. But if I could add more height, I would be able to play basketball. But here I am, I'm still 5'9". Actually, I'm shrinking. So all this to say, worrying doesn't buy you anything. You can't do anything by worrying. So he's basically saying, since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? So look at the birds. Worrying does nothing, so don't worry. He's reasoning from lesser to greater, birds to us. It reminds me of a quote from Mark Twain. He said, I have spent most of my life worrying about things that never happened. Isn't that an interesting quote, right? Yeah, I think I could add my name to that as well. So, and here's an unknown, there's a quote from an unknown person. It says, worrying is like sitting in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Right? So don't worry. Don't worry. But it's not just a simple command. It's not just a mindset. And we're going to see more that it has to do with our relationship with God. And after talking about the ravens, now Jesus draws his attention to the wildflowers, the lilies, and Matthew talks about that. It says, the wildflowers do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And when the flowers bloom, it's just glorious, isn't it? And then in verse 28, it says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, something as insignificant as grass gets clothed like this, has a very short lifespan, how much more will he clothe you? You of little faith. So Jesus is not saying that our problems aren't real. He's not saying that we're not going to worry. We're always going to have things to worry about. Jesus is not saying, just think positive thoughts. It's mind over matter. You could ignore your circumstances. Jesus is not saying that at all. But Jesus, what is he saying here? He's talking about God. He's talking about God the Father. He's also talking about how it's not about information, but it's about faith. Do you have faith in God? Do you trust in God that he'll provide? Alistair Begg said this, the root of worry is the absence of trust. So when you're always worrying, ask yourself, where is God in my life? Do I trust him to be the provider of all? God is the one who provides. So whenever we're in a situation where we're worried about something, we need to look to him who provides for all. So we need to trust in his provision. And Jesus continues, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. Once again, he says, don't worry. See how many times he's saying, don't worry. Don't worry about what you'll eat or drink. For the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them. Let me repeat that. It says, your Father knows that you need them. Comforting words, aren't they? Your Father knows even before you pray. Your Father knows even before you ask, he knows. Your Father knows even before you know that you need something. That's who our Father is, amen? Your Father knows. Jesus is challenging us. Jesus is reminding us that all who believe in him are children of God. So if you're a child of God, guess what? Your Father knows. And the Father who knows, the Father who loves, will comfort you when you are in need. I just love being here at church because I get to see examples of this just showing up in real life, how a father comforts a child. The father may not be able to solve all the problems, but when you see a father holding a child, comforting them, praying for them, that's really all that matters as a child. I remember when Susan and I were talking about going to ministry, quitting my job, and I remember talking to her about, but what about, how are we going to provide for our kids if we just quit everything and go to seminary? And she said something profound. She said, Jay, our kids aren't going to remember that they had to eat cheap food or this or that, but they're going to remember if you were there or not. And Jesus is reminding us that our Father is there, that we belong to him, and we need to go to him. So if you are in a situation where you are worrying right now, ask yourself, where is God? Am I acting like I'm a child of God, or have I forgotten that I'm a child of God? That's what Jesus is saying here. Go to God. Your Father in heaven, he cares for you, he loves you, and he'll provide for you. Amen? Your Father knows. And then Jesus says, but seek his kingdoms. And what does seek mean here? It means make it your priority. Set your heart onto something. And when you seek something, that's what you're thinking about all the time. You know, what is consuming your heart these days? Is it the kingdom? Seek his kingdom first, and these things will be given to you as well. Seek his kingdom. God's going to take care of the rest. obey God, and don't worry about anything else. And then Jesus says these profound words, don't be afraid. Do not fear. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Worrying and fear, they usually go together. Don't be afraid. He says, little flock. He's referring to his disciples. He's referring to us as little flock. And what's implied when Jesus says little flock? That means we're sheep. We're sheep. We're little. We're weak. We need protection. Little flock. Flock needs protection. We're vulnerable. And Jesus is acknowledging that we are weak. Jesus is acknowledging that we need protection. But also, Jesus is acknowledging what? By calling us little flock. That we have a shepherd. We have a good shepherd. If you're a little flock, if you're a sheep, where does your confidence come from? It doesn't come from fellow sheep. It doesn't come from yourself. If you're a flock, your confidence comes from your shepherd. Your confidence should come from your Father in heaven. Amen? Jesus is our good shepherd. And that's where our confidence should come from. Not only that, he says, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. What better words than that? Seek first his kingdom. Your Father in heaven has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He's been pleased. He delights in it. It's not an obligation. And so that's how we're able to fear not. Because as sheep, as little flock, we have the good shepherd. And that good shepherd became the lamb. When Jesus is speaking to his disciples here, he is on his way to Jerusalem. He is on his way to the cross to lay down his life for his sheep. Jesus died the death that we deserve so that you and I could be called children of God. So how does this all work? It all works through Jesus. Through Jesus, all of us who believe in Jesus, we are called children of God. That means our Father in heaven is the creator, is the Almighty God, and he is the one who watches over us. He is the one who protects us. He is our good shepherd. Amen? Yeah. The Apostle Paul said this, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, the ultimate gift. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? He gave us his only son. He gives us everything else as well. All we need to do is be children of God. When we have a need, we need to just go to God. We have lots of children here, and at the earlier service, this one little kid was not listening, wanted to just run away. It was Cheryl's grandkid, and so Cheryl was holding on to Peter, and Peter just wanted to run away, so she just let him go. As soon as she let him go, he just ran up to her and said, hold me, hold me. And he raised his arms and said, hold me. And as soon as Cheryl held him, you see him just feeling the comfort and love. And that's the picture I get when Jesus is reminding us that our Father is in heaven. When your Father in heaven holds you, all your worries don't matter. What matters is that he loves you, he cares for you, and he is holding on to you. Amen? Yeah. And then Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. He's not saying, go out and sell your house and give it to the poor. But what is he saying? That he's saying that we need to take care of the poor. When we see the poor, we should see ourselves in them as well. It's about your heart condition. And that's why he's saying, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So it's not only about seeking his kingdom, but it's also treasuring his kingdom as well. Your priorities need to be about the kingdom. We seek his kingdom and we treasure his kingdom. So the three things we can learn from today's text is, first, trust his provision. Trust in God, trust in your Father that he will provide. Second thing is to seek his kingdom first. What is your priority? It needs to be the kingdom of God. And the last thing is, not only do you seek his kingdom, but you treasure his kingdom. So once again, I want to reiterate that what Jesus is not teaching us, he's not teaching us to just, that it's mind over matter. That once we believe in him, that we won't have to worry ever again. Worries are going to come. They don't disappear because we're Christians. But we have a place to take our worries. We can go to our Father in heaven. We can go to Jesus because Jesus has spoken. So there may be something to worry about today, or maybe not today, but maybe even tomorrow. And so what do? We go to the Father, we go to Jesus, and we remember his promises. So I want to go back to the earlier worries that I had listed and see what we can do with them. So the first thing, I talked about the finances. Will I have enough? Am I going to be able to take care of myself and my family? Well, Jesus reminded us today to seek his kingdom first and everything will be given to you. It's about our relationship with God and it's about our priorities and remembering why we are here. It's to seek his kingdom, to glorify God, to enjoy him forever. And God will take care of the rest. Do you know that God is with you? Are you feeling him holding you? Oh, what about our health? I think I preached on this sermon before, but I'm always reminded of this text. When Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So even in our weakness, we're able to glorify God. His grace is sufficient. What does God talk about our children? There are many places, but I like this passage in Isaiah. Where in 54:13 it says, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. What else can we ask for? What about growing older? Isaiah 46:4, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. And I will carry you, I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Future. And this could include death as well. Many scripture verses talk about this, but I like this one today. Romans 8, 38, 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Truth sets us free, doesn't it? God sets us free. So this is what it means. In times of worry, times of trouble, remember you're a child of God. Remember all the scripture verses that we read. All of his promises are yes and amen. It may not seem real, but it is. It's not about information, but it's about faith. It's about faith. So let's remember this. Because Jesus gave himself to make you a child of God, and that is who you are if you believe in Jesus. You are a child of God. You can trust your Father. You can put a period right there. You can trust your Father. You can trust your Father with every fear. You can trust your Father with his care. Amen? So let's look to Jesus. Let's remember that we are children of God. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending us your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you that through you, through the ultimate display of love, by you dying on the cross, we are called children of God. Thank you for reminding us that we belong to you. Thank you for reminding us that you are our Father, Father in heaven. So Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage to come to you in every circumstance. Help us to not follow the world with our worries and anxieties, Lord God, but help us to trust in you, knowing that you are the one who provides. Help us to seek your kingdom always. And may we continue to walk with you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.